What is up, Pittsburgh Steelers fans, and welcome back to another Let's Ride podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Hartman, here on this Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning Steelers adventure. And this is a part of the Steel Curtain Network, which is a part of the Fans First Sports Network. I thank you all for taking the time to be with me for a part of your week. Today's Wednesday. Happy hump day, everyone. You know what that means. Second half of the show, mailbag segment. But we have a lot of news to discuss today, folks, both at the National Football League level, as well as the Steelers are making moves like crazy. For those that all complained and bemoaned the fact that the Steelers had a really hot start to free agency, then simmered down now in the second week. Well, they picked it right back up. They've signed four players in the last 2 days. We'll talk about those players, give you a little background, and we'll start to talk about how the Steelers plan, as they said in Major League, manager Lou Brown, starting to come together, Pepper. It's starting to come together. That's right. The Steelers plan is starting to come together. Let's start with some NFL news, though. Let's talk about the national news here. The owners' meetings are down in Florida right now. And we've heard from Mike Tomlin, we've heard from Omar Khan, now we've heard from Art Rooney II. And we've digested some of that stuff. But the NFL is also making a lot of rule changes. They're making announcements. They're talking about holiday games, who's going to play in the Hall of Fame game, all of it. So let's talk about some of it. Not all of it, some of it. So you heard me last playoffs when I really was pissed that a playoff game, and I want to say this was the Miami-Kansas City game in Kansas City where it's frigid temperatures, was solely on Peacock. I hated it. Hated every second of it. I just didn't like the fact that football fans were going to have to pay a subscription just to be able to watch a playoff game. And according to Pro Football Talk, which it's an NBC affiliate, Peacock, NBC affiliate, say what you want, according to the analytics, 72% of the people that signed up for Peacock before that game kept their subscription active before they could have canceled. So you could have signed up, paid for your month, canceled. According to what they're saying, 72% of people did. So for them, they say, ha-ha, yes, it worked. Congratulations, NFL. You have a longtime member that's going to work with you as best as we can because you got us all these subscriptions. And so the NFL's like, yes, we're going to keep doing that. And so they announced that the game that's going to be played in Brazil in week one, which is, I believe, a Friday night, it's going to be the Philadelphia Eagles. And who they're playing has not been announced as of this being recorded. Rumor has it, it could be, I want to say it might be the Jets. I know the Browns have been in discussion as well. That game in Brazil is only going to be on Peacock. Now, they also announced that there's going to be another wild card game that is only on Amazon Prime. Now, Amazon Prime has had the sole rights to Thursday Night Football the last two seasons. And, I have it because I need it for work and my wife keeps Amazon in business. But other than that, I don't like this at all. I still stand by my sentiment that I hate how the NFL is forcing this product on everyone. Just like they forced me into DirecTV for over 10 years. They're forcing me into YouTube TV now. It's frustrating. I get it. As a fan, I can only do so much. Nonetheless, that's what's coming up. Also, the kickoffs have changed. Kickoffs have changed, and this is going to tie into a move the Steelers made on Tuesday afternoon. But this proposal has passed. Now, if you watch the XFL, don't worry. If you didn't, you're not alone. I didn't either. It looks funny. You have all these players lined up about 5 yards away from each other. The kicker's allowed to move. There's one return man, and the kick is kicked, and then they can't move until the ball is touched. Now, there's this landing zone, which is the goal line to the 20. They can return it there. They can fair catch it there. If it goes into the end zone, they get it at the 20. It's weird. I'll try my best to explain it another time. Not right now. Now's not the time or the place, but it got passed, so the kickoffs are going to be back. They're going to want returns again. They didn't like constant touchbacks that we've seen the last 2 years. But on top of that, though, the one thing I don't like about this, and I'll say this right off the bat, it's kind of eliminated the surprise onside kick. And I hate that. I can't stand it. The surprise onside kick is now gone. You can still onside kick, but you have to announce that you're going to kick it off. It reminds me of when I was a kid. When I was a kid, when you were playing backyard football and it was fourth down, you said it. You were either punting or grunting. I don't know where you all are from, and maybe you never did that, but where I was from, we did that. You had to say Are you punting or are you going for it? Punting or grunting? Grunting means you're going for it. So if you said you're grunting, we're going for it. You had to go for it. You cannot go back. You cannot renege on that deal. Just like if you say you're punting, you have to punt. Now, there's no surprise onside kick anymore. You're going to have to say, look, we need the ball back. We're going to onside kick it. And you got to tell the other team, we're going to onside kick it. Stupid. Nonetheless, it is what it is. All right, let's go to the hip drop tackle. The hip drop tackle. I think the poster child for the hip drop tackle was a Logan Wilson's tackle on Mark Andrews last year. Cincinnati Bengals and Baltimore Ravens on primetime. Mark Andrews is going in for a touchdown, it looks like. Wilson's in trail position and doesn't want to horse collar him, so he kind of jumps on his back. His legs go underneath around his legs. He gets tangled up. Bam. There you go. Season's over. Injured reserve. I think he did come back for the playoffs, but still, it was a gruesome injury. Le'Veon Bell, if you go all the way back to 2015, I think, they were in the Bumblebees, Cincinnati Bengals. Vontaze Burfict did it to him. And that's why Art Rooney II said he voted for the ban of the hip drop tackle. What does it mean for in-game play? 15-yard penalty, personal foul, automatic first down, and you can expect a hefty fine the following week from the National Football League. This did the Hall of Fame game. Let me say that correctly. The Hall of Fame game was announced. Chicago Bears and the Houston Texans will be going head-to-head in Canton, Ohio following the Hall of Fame festivities. They will be reporting to training camp earlier than everyone else. So that's exciting. And lastly, the last NFL news we're going to talk about here, the trade deadline has been moved to week 9. That bumps it back a week. And the Steelers were one of the teams that proposed this change. They got it passed. That's good news for them based on the fact that they now have an extra week along with the rest of the league to assess their roster. When you think about the Steelers' inside linebacker position being absolutely ravaged with injury last year, they could have maybe made a trade and they could have not had to rely on a Miles Jack and other people that are just coming off of Michael Walker, coming off of the couch, so to speak, or off people's practice squads. So some of those league-wide moves are good, some maybe not. I did bring this up on my Steelers Green Thoughts on my Twitter feed, if you've ever checked it out. There's also one little tidbit that did not get reported a lot, and that is that HBO and the NFL, they've been doing these in-season Hard Knocks now for several years. I think last year was Miami. And they decided they wanted to increase it. They want to do 4 teams in season next year. And then there was rumors that they wanted to do a division. Like, let's just cover an entire division. Well, that makes me kind of nervous because here I was thinking the Steelers weren't eligible because they made the playoffs. If you make the playoffs, you can't be on Hard Knocks. This in-season stuff is different. And wouldn't you want the AFC North? 4 teams, 3 of which made the playoffs, none of which had a losing record last season. With you think about Ja'Marr Chase and the Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow, you have Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry in Baltimore, you've got Deshaun Watson and that mess up in Cleveland, and now you have Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, and the Pittsburgh Steelers. That would be must-see television right there. That would be phenomenal. And I'm not going to sit here and lie and pander and say, I wouldn't watch it or I don't care. Do I want the Steelers to be on Hard Knocks? No. Would I watch it? You bet I would watch it. That would be awesome to get that inside access to the team. And so you always have to remember these teams have the last say as to what's released and what isn't. So keep that in the back of your mind. All right, so there's the NFL news out of the way. But I mentioned the Steelers have been making a crap ton of moves. And this week, Monday and Tuesday, Monday they signed, reportedly, 3 players. Quez Watkins, wide receiver, formerly of the Philadelphia Eagles. Talk about him in a second. Kyle Allen, last year was with the Buffalo Bills, backup quarterback. Dean Lowry, last year with the Minnesota Vikings. And then Tuesday, Cordarrelle Patterson. That's right, you might have recognized that guy. Let's talk about these players a little bit. Let's talk about what do they bring to the Steelers. Because let's be honest, if you're a Steelers fan and you follow the NFL, you know the big-name players, but you don't know a lot of these smaller players, not just smaller in stature, but players that are not lesser known. We'll put it that way. So let's talk about Quez Watkins. Here's what you need to know about him. He was a 6th-round draft pick in the 2020 NFL draft by the Philadelphia Eagles coming out of Southern Mississippi. Watkins only appeared in 6 games as a rookie as he began the season on IR. The next 2 seasons, he appeared in all 34 games, 20 starts in 2021, and had a career-best yardage of 647 receiving yards on 43 catches. 2022, didn't have as many catches, 33, and yards, 354, but had a career-high in touchdowns with 3. Last season, though, he appeared in 9 games, 5 starts, only 15 catches for 142 yards and a touchdown. So where does he play? Well, what kind of receiver is this guy? Well, in 2023, he lined up in the slot 60% of the time. The Steelers needed a slot receiver. This is where he typically lines up. The previous year, he lined up 70% of the time in the slot. So keep that in mind. And he also does have kick return experience with the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, let's talk about Cordarrelle Patterson, because he is, in my opinion, the ultimate Swiss Army knife. Mike Tomlin loves position versatility. He always has, always will. He loves guys that can do it all. So he was a former first-round pick of the Vikings in the 2013 draft. He's played 11 NFL seasons with five different teams. He spent the last 3 years in Atlanta with Arthur Smith, and there he had 1,429 rushing yards on 347 attempts and 14 touchdowns. Last season, though, he only had 50 attempts for 181 yards and didn't hit pay dirt. He also had 82 catches for 708 yards, six touchdowns in his time with the Falcons. He was a first-team All-Pro as a kick returner, two seasons with the Vikings in 2013 and 2016, as well as with the Chicago Bears in 2019 and 2020. He can run the ball, he can catch the ball, and he can return the ball. And when you're talking about the Steelers having some foresight here, they're looking at this change of the kickoff rules. The NFL wants to get the kickoffs back into the game. Let's go out and get ourselves Quez Watkins, who is a burner. Dude can run, has kickoff return experience. And oh, by the way, let's get one of the most lethal kick returners of the last 10 years in Cordarrelle Patterson, who has 9 return touchdowns in his career. And let's see if we can make some magic happen. I like those moves. I really do. Now, the move that a lot of people were not happy with was Kyle Allen, backup quarterback. Give you a little background on him. He was undrafted out of Houston to the Carolina Panthers in 2018. Stayed in Carolina until 2020. He was traded to the Washington Commanders for a 5th-round draft pick in 2020. He then signed with the Houston Texans in 2022, 1-year deal. And then last year, 1-year deal with the Buffalo Bills as he backed up Josh Allen. The dude actually has a lot of experience playing. He's played in 30 games, 19 starts, 7-12 record. He's thrown for 4,734 yards, 26 touchdowns, 21 interceptions, 82.2 rating. He's probably your quarterback 3. I like the fact that he is experienced. And if you get to quarterback 3 on the depth chart, typically things are not going well. Put it that way. Lastly, Dean Lowry. He was drafted by the Packers in 2016. He was a 4th-round pick out of Northwestern, signed a 2-year deal with the Vikings in 2023, but he tore his pec last year against the Denver Broncos and was on IR for the rest of the season, and that ended up in him being released in March. The dude's played in a lot of games as well. Very experienced, 120 games, 84 starts, 266 combined tackles. He's had 17 pass defenses, 15 and a half sacks. He does have an interception to his name, 1 forced fumble, 5 fumble recoveries, and 1 touchdown. Did y'all get that? Everyone get that? When I look at these signings, though, I look at the signings of Quez Watkins, Cordarrelle Patterson, Kyle Allen, and Dean Lowry. They're starting to get their plan together. Now, Mike Tomlin spoke with the media, and they did ask him about center, and he said, look, it's something we got to figure out. Like, we realize it. You're not telling us something we don't already know. And so the center position is probably going to be the next domino to fall. But ultimately, they are starting to fill the gaps. And some people might say, well, they still need a cornerback. Well, they did get Dante Jackson from the trade with Deontay Johnson. They like that guy. They also like Darius Rush. They like Luke Barkus on the offseason roster. And they hope Corey Trice can come back. Well, they need a safety. Well, they got Deshaun Elliott. All right. They're going to keep DeMonte KZ, obviously, unless something changes. So they have that there. They've got their 3 safeties that they like. Well, what about all this? It really comes down. What about offensive tackle? Okay, I get it. And they might still add a tackle, but they might also be looking to interior offensive line first. So they still have some moves to make, but the plan is starting to come together. Are there still holes on the roster? Yes, but nothing that can't be addressed. And here's the funny thing that I think people need to remember. The Steelers know what they're doing, and now they go into patient mode. They go into this situation where they say, look, players are still on the market. We're 2.5 weeks into this thing. They're still on the market for a reason. There's not a lot of buyers out there. So we're just going to sit back and we're going to say, look, let's say it's someone like Tyler Boyd. I don't think they're going to bring in Tyler Boyd after the recent signings, but still, let's just say it's Tyler Boyd. Hey, Tyler, Steelers again, Omar Khan, just taking your temperature, man. I mean, free agent market's kind of dried up. all those teams that were interested, they went in another direction. We'd still love to have you. What are we talking? Years? Money? What's the deal? What's the hangup? You know, think back to last year when Bud Dupree was in Pittsburgh and everyone thought he was going to come back to the team. They wanted a two-year deal. He wanted a one-year deal. He goes to Atlanta on a one-year deal because he wanted to get that one last multi-year deal after proving himself in Atlanta. Didn't really do that. So it's a risk that they take. But the Steelers can take the patient approach to free agency at this point. They have the leverage. The team does. They don't need this person in particular. They need them. Help me, help you, is what the Steelers are saying. There are different circumstances. There are certain extenuating circumstances as it pertains to players still on the market. But you listen to Tomlin, you listen to Omar Khan, and you listen to Art Rooney, they're all saying the same thing. They're fine. They're right where they want to be. They're right where they want to be heading into the draft. They've acquired a lot of quality players. They've acquired a lot of players. They didn't have to like give up draft capital. They don't have anyone that's breaking the bank. The Patterson deal is a two-year deal for $6 million. That'll probably be a very small cap hit this year. And I'm sure they can get out of the contract if they don't want to be in it anymore after that. So I got to be honest. You may hate some of this stuff. Some people say, oh, Patterson's washed up. Okay, they cut him, they cut him. But they have an athlete who could be a running back. He could be a receiver and he could be a returner for you. And if he doesn't have it anymore, he doesn't have it anymore. They'll figure that out soon enough. But ultimately, they're slowly checking those boxes off. Only a few remain until the end of April with the NFL draft rolling around. And as again, the patient approach typically pays off. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back after that break, we're going to have the ever popular mailbag segment. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Episode of the mailbag segment. That's right. It's time for the mailbag every Wednesday in the second half of the show. If you don't know how to get your question answered, it is simple. Tuesday morning, typically around 9-10 o'clock, in the morning, obviously Eastern time, I put a question on my Twitter feed at jhartman, HERTMAN_PITR. I pose a tweet. You all respond to that tweet, and therefore I answer them live on Wednesdays. So here we go. Let's start with David Briggs. He said, hey, Jeff, not really a question, but I hope your family and friends in Maryland are safe and sound after the bridge collapsed this morning. So thank you, David. For those that know anything about the state of Maryland, the bridge collapse was near the harbor, which is just southeast of Baltimore. And so I live in the western part of the state. So it wasn't around me. Thankfully, I didn't know anyone involved. I do want to say just now that this small little state, it's the eighth smallest state in the United States of America. Man, everything kind of hits home in this state with a lot of different things and the fact that the Capitol is housed in Maryland. But man, that was rough. That was really difficult for me to see that happen. And my thoughts, prayers, I'm sending a lot of positive vibes out to anyone that's affected by that. And I'm also not going to forget the first responders. My cousins are first responders back in Wheeling, West Virginia, and sometimes the stuff that they have to deal with, the things that they have to see, that can be very, very traumatic for them as well. So for anyone involved, obviously the victims, their families, but the people that were killed in that accident, the people that are responding and having to deal with seeing some of the things that they're going to have to see, the rebuilding process, both emotionally, spiritually, physically. And the bridge itself is going to be, it's going to take years. So David, thank you very much for the well wishes. I do appreciate that. All right, let's shift gears now. And let's go to Jeff Koons, our buddy up north. He said, hi, Jeff. It would appear that the Steelers will target a wide receiver too early in the draft. Omar seems to be adding a complementary receivers to fill in 3 to 5 on the depth chart. Similar to Patrick Peterson on defense, who should the Steelers consider bringing back Allen Robinson on a cheaper deal? Robinson fits what Arthur Smith could want on offense. He's a veteran, knows the team, seems to be respected in the locker room. He can also play in the slot. At a lesser price, seems to fill a need, assuming they can get a stud wide receiver too in the draft. So I think that the Patterson signing might have cramped this a little bit, but I would be fine with Allen Robinson coming back on the cheap. That's important, on the cheap. So we'll see. Dave Dixon said, "What's up, Jeff? I was on a little podcast hiatus when you and most of the staff transferred from Behind the Steel Curtain to Steel Curtain Network. It took me a minute to figure out what happened, LOL. I was curious as to how that transpired." So Dave, welcome back, I guess, to our new humble abode of the Steel Curtain Network. So how that happened and how that transpired was SB Nation, which is owned by Vox Media, they made the overarching decision that they were going to cut ties with roughly probably 95% of their podcast platform. The 5% that were kept, I still don't know why they were kept and people like us were not. Nonetheless, we were told, hey, you don't got to go home, but you can't stay here. And so we had built up such an audience. We, myself, Brian, and Dave said, well, we're not going to stop doing this. It's just a matter of where we're going to go next. So we decided, let's reach out to all these other feeds that just got cut and let's create a company, right? And so thankfully we had I call him the financial quarterback, the CEO of the company, step in. He helped us out with a lot of the legalities and he's funded the operation. And Fans First Sports Network was born and we turned into the Steel Curtain Network by proxy. So what used to be BTSE is now SCN, steelcurtainnetwork.com is our website. Check us out there. And yeah, I'm glad you finally found your way back. I appreciate all the people that come back. It's good to see you again. Let's go to Jesse Haley. He said, "Will you still watch football when it becomes flag football?" I know what he's saying. He's talking about the NFL kickoff and the hip drop, and I'm not going to go that far just yet. I'm really not. The fact that they're trying something in the kickoff realm to get that play back into the game, that's important. That's telling for me. They want to make it more exciting, but they're trying to do it in a different way. I'll stick around for that. Steeler Fan 69. Said, "Hey, Mr. Jeff, hope all is well with you and your family." Here he goes with the dad jokes. George Clooney, Leonardo DiCaprio, and Matthew McConaughey got together to make a movie. George Clooney said, "I'll direct." DiCaprio said, "I'll produce." And Matthew McConaughey said, "All right, all right, all right." I love it. Love that. I love the Matthew McConaughey reference. That's obviously going back to Dazed and Confused. Great job. Good stuff as always. Let's go, Dr. Anthony. He said, "Can you explain the new kickoff rule regarding kicking the ball out of the back of the end zone? What would be out of bounds and therefore a penalty, or is that a touchback? Also, what about the Igwebuke play where his feet were out of bounds? Is that still possible?" Okay, so I've tried. I did see this question. I tried. I watched the video that the NFL put out. I tried to watch a lot of this stuff, and it's still kind of confusing to me, too. If you kick it out of the end zone, I believe the other team gets it either at the 30 or the 35. They want you to kick it into the landing zone. If a player touches it while he's out of bounds, I guess it would be deemed out of bounds, in which case you get it at the 40 like you always have. So I think that this is going to be different. Preseason is going to be really interesting, like to watch how it looks, and I'm sure we'll get some more information on it. But Dr. Anthony asked another one as well. He said, "My understanding of the hip drop tackle is that it's only a penalty if the technique is used to land on the back of the opposing player's legs, but dropping to the turf to bring them down would be okay. Is this the right interpretation?" There's a lot of confusion on this point. I think that what you're going to have to start seeing, so go back to the Mark Andrews with Logan Wilson. Wilson's in trail position. He goes up high to try and bring him down. What he's going to have to do, because he was trying to prevent a touchdown, people need to remember that. He needs to just dive at the back of his legs. So that's what he has to do. He's got to basically take his shoulder and dive at his hips, at the back of his knees, whatever, but not to go up high and then pull him backwards. That's the motion they don't want to see. Is the just like with a horse collar, they don't want to pull that back. That's what they don't want to see, is that you using your weight backwards and bringing them back. So if he just dives at his feet, unfortunately, in that particular play, could likely be a touchdown. Nonetheless, they don't care. They won't be worried about the safety of the players. All right, Thomas asks, "Can you ask your source what number Justin Fields would be?" Man, people are really, really interested in Justin Fields' number. I have no inside information about that right now. Afton Forehead, "Do you think the Steelers want Connor Williams if he can return early enough in the season? Will they just draft a guy or target a free agent also?" So Connor Williams is still obviously battling his way back from injury. I think they're going to draft a guy. I think there might be a free agent as well. He's probably on their radar, though. They're probably keeping tabs on him for sure. Let's go to James. He said, hey, Jeff, do you feel we will see a Pittsburgh team that takes almost half a season again to gel and hit their stride, especially given all of the newness and uncertainty? Or do you feel the foundational pieces we have will be able to spring to action much sooner? So this is, I think, more about the offense than it is the defense, right? The defense the last few years has come out of the gates very strong. The offense has been the part of this that stalls and doesn't get going. I would hope that with a guy like Russell Wilson, been in the league for a long time, done it for a long time, it's not just about, oh, I got my receivers together down in Florida to throw. Like, that's not it. It's about getting the offense ready. It's also going to come down to coordination as well. And Mike Tomlin spoke about Arthur Smith, how he loves the fact that he was a head coach. To him, Tomlin, he has an idea about scheduling and he has an idea about getting meetings in. We'll see. We'll see. When you look back, if things come out and they come out better this year, then I think we might be able to look back and say it was a quarterback and probably was a coordinator problem as well. Doc M, Southside Doc, asks, is Khan's trademark aggression a product of the current NFL or an evolution upon current standards? Describe the time frame to evaluate his moves. I think that you can start to evaluate some free agent moves as of like last year's moves. Yeah, are they still on the roster? Yes, no. You evaluate in that regard. Draft picks, did they pan out in year one, even in such a short sample size? Most of them, yes. I think you can evaluate as soon as 1 year after. But as we saw with Kenny Pickett, sometimes it takes more than 1 year. But I think his aggression that you mentioned, I think that it's an evolution of the game and the way that these general managers, front office, organization, how are they handling things? That's what you have to think about. This isn't Kevin Colbert's GM in NFL anymore. Just like people want to compare to Chuck Knoll. There's no free agency then. Are you serious? The 70s Steelers wouldn't have stuck around. They couldn't have afforded to pay everybody. It was a salary cap. That team would have been busted up maybe 4 years, 5 years after they won their first Super Bowl. It's just not sustainable. So I think that it's Omar Khan as a modern approach to how they do things. And I think it's a refresher, absolutely a refresher. All right, Brandon Diaz asked several. He said, number one, I may be in the minority here, but how does the new kickoff hurt football? What about the hip drop tackle? In my opinion, both make it better. The hip drop tackle, I explained that a little bit. And I don't think that the kickoff hurts football. If anything, they want to inject that play back into the game. So in that case, I'm for it. Next question. Do you think the Steelers retire a number this year? No, I don't. I don't. Who will impact this team more, Fields or Patrick Queen? I think Patrick Queen. I think they're going to benefit a lot from him. And then he says, Patterson signed, thoughts? I like it. I like the signing. Talked about it in the first half. I like it. There's really not much else I can say. Let's go to Zach Farnsworth. Hey, Jeff, do you think the Steelers will regret not getting a quality veteran center at the beginning of free agency? Asking a rookie to come in and start could prove to be a tall task unless they have Pouncey level of skill. Thanks for the content. Thank you, Zach. I don't think they wanted to pay a veteran center top dollar. So I'm going to say a name that, as of this being recorded, has not signed. Brian Allen. He has starting experience. Hell, Mason Cole, if you bring him back. I don't think he wants to come back, but if he has no other options, he might come back. So if you come back on the cheap, look, we only want you for a year. We're drafting a guy. We want you to be here with him. We want you to teach him the ropes. We want you to be the mentor for him. Someone's going to sign up for that because they don't have another option, but they don't want to spend, like on Mitch Morse. You don't want to spend that kind of money on a player that's going to be a temp. Everyone knows it. You don't want to pay that much money for a temporary player. So they're playing the patient game, like I said in the first half of the show. Let's go to West Coast N. Who are some of your favorite Steeler coaches of all time, not including head coaches? Oh, okay. Not including head coaches. Well, Dick LeBeau is going to be up there. I always like Dick Hoke as well. Was a running back coach forever. He played for the Steelers. Other coaches that I really liked. I actually kind of like Todd Haley. I'm not going to lie. There's going to be people that say, oh my gosh, you like Todd. I like Todd Haley. I thought Todd Haley's offense was, once they got into the rhythm of things and they got the people and the people where they needed to be in terms of getting the right players, Man, that was a fun offense to watch. They were really, really high-powered. I loved it. Love Todd Haley. Okay, Tequila Cowboy, as I should call him. And let's go to Schnecky. Do you find mock drafts exhausting and dumb like I do? I think mock drafts have their place. So I'll tell you something that I use mock drafts for. I use mock drafts to learn about these players that are entering the draft. And I mean all of the players. I learn about the Drake Mays and the Caleb Williams. I've heard their names before, but I didn't know much about them in terms of when are they going to get drafted? Are these all guaranteed top 10 picks? Who are the players that could slide from 10 to 20? What about the tackles? I'm learning as I go. Do I put stock into mock drafts? No. Do I put any type of credence to mock drafts? Absolutely not. But do I watch and follow them and say, okay, what can I learn from these? Absolutely, I do. So are they exhausting? They can be. Are they dumb? In a way, yes. Can they also be valuable? I think they can. Let's go to the last questions here from Easy Pickens. Jeff, it's been a while. Hope you are well. Number one, how are you processing this whole offseason? I've always grown up with the same old Steelers. This is so new to me. It is new to everyone. And I find it refreshing that Omar Khan is coming in and he's saying, I'm doing this my way. And he and Mike Tomlin are on the same wavelength. And Art Rooney is on the same wavelength. He has got them. And I'm not saying it's all Khan. I think Mike Tomlin deserves a lot of credit so far for the offseason as well. They are doing things a different way because it's the same thing as, you know, banging my head against the wall. And yet somehow thinking something different is going to happen. Doesn't work that way. So they're trying something different and I like it. Number two, tell me the league isn't transitioning to flag football. Need the reassurance. Rule changes are worrisome. It's not going to go to flag football. They're trying to make it safer. I would love to see some rules that made it at least sort of going in the favor of defense, but it's a physical game. And then three, how excited are you for Happy Gilmore 2 and will you be watching? So let me say this. So this question from Easy Pickens, I do a golf podcast. For those that follow me on Twitter, I do a golf podcast. You can find my golf podcast anywhere we get your podcasts by searching Fairways, the and symbol, and Dreams. Fairways and Dreams. It's a playoff of Cocktails and Dreams from the movie Cocktail with Tom Cruise back in the late 80s. So I digress. I saw this and I said, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to do my favorite golf movies for my Thursday podcast on Fairways and Dreams. So Easy Pickens, go find that and check it out. I will talk about Happy Gilmore 2, talk about my thoughts on it, my concerns about it, because there are a lot of them. Go and check that out. And he finishes it with, this is Easy Pickens. Thanks for all the great content, Jeff. Find myself gravitating to check for new episodes every time we make headlines, and you guys never disappoint. Thank you very much. So I want to finish this up with, again, and it got brought up in the mailbag segment, my thoughts, prayers, all the positive vibes that I have within me and that positive energy that I can give out to others. I send that out to anyone that might be struggling in this state of Maryland with that bridge collapse, and not just in the state. I'm sure people in Pittsburgh with the bridge collapse that happened there a little over a year ago are probably seeing this, and a lot of that stuff is coming back. And it's traumatic. It's awful. And I honestly can't even imagine. I cannot even imagine what those people are going through. So to all the Coast Guard that's been called out, the Federal Reserves that are there to help, the Maryland State Police Department, all the first responders there, the divers, good God, the divers. My heart goes out to everyone. My cousin, I mentioned he was a first responder. He had to do a dive in Wheeling when a young boy drowned. And so you can only, I can't do it. I can't do that. So, whew. Those people deserve a lot of credit. So thank you all for listening. Thank you all for being a part of the Ride or Die crew. I do appreciate everyone. Make sure you check out all our podcasts. That's it for me. I got to call it here. Until next time, I'll be back on Friday with another Let's Ride podcast. We finished up. Be safe, be kind, God bless.